everybody. Did you come to worship the Lord on today? Let's stand and get ready to worship him. Do me a favor before we start worshiping. Why don't you shake three hands and tell them it's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. I'm going to get my blessing today. I'm going to worship him today. Jesus, thank you for being the great God. You're awesome in all of your doing. There's nothing you can't do. We're going to worship you and bless you in this place. Today is a day that we shall bless and honor you. The devil has no victory in here. The devil has no victory in the person standing next to me. The devil has no victory in the person in front or behind me. As a matter of fact, we're all victorious and overcomers through Jesus Christ. With that being said, we receive the word that shall be preached and we shall go higher in Jesus' name. Somebody shout unto God. One, two, three. Come to give him thanks. Here we go. One, two, three, and
oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Let's say it.
Unto the Lord.
For his love.
For his love endureth forever and ever.
And we say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. We declare.
Yeah.
Cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible.
Touchy-feely church, but touch three people that says nothing is impossible. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Say, I'm invading your territory. The power of God is in this place. There have been mighty moves of God in this place before. And God, we want you to do something brand new on today. There's two witnesses. Lift those hands in this place. God, do it again. God, saturate us again.
Thank you. God will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough.
I'm still in your hands.
name of Jesus.
Isn't the name of Jesus powerful?
Thank you.
Lord, we ask that the blanket of heaven just come down upon us right now in Jesus' name. We receive, Father. We receive, Father. In Jesus' name, we receive. God is healing someone in there. I don't want to call it a headache, but I'll tell you where the pain begins. It begins on the left side, goes across the front of the head all the way back behind the right ear, and that is deeper in the brain than just a normal headache. And Father, whatever the cause of that is right now, the name of Jesus is wonderful. God, we serve a generous, healing, compassionate God. And right now in Jesus' name, we curse the cause of it and we command it right now. Go. In the name of Jesus. If you have arthritis, just lift your hands to heaven. God, I thank you that this morning you are the God that healeth thee. Lord, we take authority over the spirit, oh God, in Jesus' name. Those dealing with rheumatoid arthritis, I curse it in the name of Jesus. Lord, show me there's actually somebody very young here, and you've been diagnosed with this, and right now we cancel the diagnosis in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare that by your stripes we were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross. Father, those that are even in the later years of life who have just accepted this, we rebuke right now the spirit of arthritis. You foul thing, come off the children of God. Stop binding them and putting them in jail in Jesus' name. We command you to loose their joints in the name of Christ. God, what has been deteriorated or destroyed, I command to be made whole by the power of God in Jesus' name. There's another individual on your right leg in your calf area. There's something going on with your vessels, and the constraint of it causes pain all the time. And you can tell it's vascular. And God is healing right now in Jesus' name. God, I'm not asking for you to fix it. I'm asking you to put new ones in. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that heaven has the capability of planting from heaven all the way to earth. God, in Jesus' name, we call your will to be done. Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I command the veins and the vascular system to be healed in that right leg in Jesus' name. Pain, go. Now, God, I thank you for freedom and healing. Lord, anybody else who's sick in the house, Lord, I'm going to decree what I decree over my family. According to your covenant, God, in the name of your son, Jesus. We just sang about the son. We sang about the name that's above every name, that in the name of Jesus is power. In the name of Jesus, there's sozo, salvation, completeness, oh God. Spirit, soul, and body. God, I declare in the name of Jesus, salvation over the house. I declare in the name of Jesus, according to your covenant, that by your stripes we were healed. And no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounds have a right to be in the children of God. I command you to go even now. Spirit of infirmity, loose them. Now. God, I thank you that you are such a good God. You're such a generous God. And you care so much for us. Lord, today we know it's going to be a supernatural service, not just because you've been moving already in worship. But God, there'll be a revolution, a revelation of an apocalypse in our spirit with the word. We command a shift in the Holy Ghost. Even in our mind, we renew it this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we may see you for who you truly are, the generous, the loving, compassionate, supernatural Father that loves his babies. In Jesus' name, I said in Jesus' name. If we only understood what... Do you realize that Jesus didn't need... I was talking this week. You know, Jesus didn't... Everybody says, Jesus Christ. You know, we use his name, Jesus Christ. Everybody thinks that's his last name. That's not his last name. Jesus means deliverer, and Christ means Christos, the anointed one, the sent one. You see, God has sent the Savior. Amen? He sent the deliverer. No matter what your circumstance or situation, the deliverer is here. He did not need a name. God gave him a name that's above every other name and said that if we ask anything in his name, anything in his name, that his name is above all things. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, the Christos, is Lord. What does it mean, Lord? It means owner. It means he has control of it. Today, your body is not your own. And no matter what you're struggling with, I want you to know that in the name of Jesus, Christos, the anointed one has been sent to set you free. If you're struggling emotionally, you need to know that he's come to heal the brokenhearted. You know, Christ can do in 1 minute what a psychotherapist, and I'm not against them, can do in 10 years. Just takes a moment of Jesus's touch. God can change you if you allow him to. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you know that sharing the love of God is everything that we are? Amen. On your way back to your chair, then don't be a snob and go share the love of Christ with somebody. Amen. Go find some people you don't know. Shake their hand and say, well, good morning. I thank God that I love Jesus, and so do you. Come on, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Go find somebody. Share that beautiful smile and that happiness, the joy of the Lord, that's your strength. Hallelujah. Did you meet somebody? If you didn't meet somebody, you might want to call yourself a snob. Well, I just don't like people. Well, then you need to get saved. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Rock solid. with Faith and Next Steps have helped me deepen my connection with God. I understand Him and His nature much more, and it's just much more revelation knowledge. And also, it's an important time just to come to the church and get together and see fellow people and just be in worship of Him and talk about Him, which is always great. Deeply personal relationship with God. You're welcome. Thank you.
That God has given them a vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
Hey family, I'm just here to remind you about the Uproar Talent Show coming up on February 10th. Tickets are $30 a piece. There will be a full dinner involved and an awesome bake auction. Make sure you show up at 6 for couples portraits, and you might be able to win a prize for the Best Dressed Couples Award. Remember, February 10th, 6 o'clock, sign up in the foyer. I hope to see you there.
Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. If you're a guest in the house, we just want to welcome you this morning. We have some resources for you. We have some great guest packets that are out there. If you're a guest and you did not receive a guest packet, would you just raise your hand up real quick and the ushers can get one to you? I don't see any hands. If you are a guest and you have a guest packet, which you must already, there's a ticket in there, and there's a great guest reception for guests only after service, and it's on this side in that hallway. We just want to invite you out to that, and you can meet everybody and get to know everybody. If you're watching on live stream this morning, we want to welcome you as well. There's some great resources on our website. If you just want to check those out, click around. You can get in touch with anybody that you want to get in touch with. And actually, if you're live streaming this morning, there's a chat where you can ask somebody a question even during the service. Couple announcements. Next Steps program, faith and finances class. Carla, where are you? Somewhere. Raise your hand. If you see Carla today, or if you go on the website or you go to the hub, you can sign up for her Next Steps class, which is Faith and Finances. That's every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. It's a great class. It's something that you really want to get involved with. Also, the Uproar Talent Show. Where's Pastor Cody? The Uproar Talent Show is coming up on February 10th. That's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great opportunity to raise some money for Uproar this summer and just have a good time and see some great talent. So February 10th, see him for the details. And last but not least, Mexico. We are going to Mexico in October for a missions trip. That's going to be a great time. It's going to be just a tremendous time to sow into the people down there. We've been doing a lot of work in Mexico, and things are really happening down there. So if you want to get involved with that, you can check it out on our website, or if you have any questions, see Pastor Obi. And that's it. Pastor Rhonda.
Awesome. We have so much going on in the house. There is never a dull moment. I want to announce a very exciting thing that we have been void of for several years now, and we are starting up women's ministries. So this Friday night, there will be our very first fun and fellowship night. We have our weekly Bible study that continues to happen and grow, and that's awesome. But this is going to be a night for you ladies just to get together and fellowship and get to know one another. So don't be a snob. Show up and get involved. The details are in your bulletin. You want to read the bulletin for the details. I'm not even going to tell you a time because it's important for you to read the details. Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. We have a great celebration today, and that is, how many of you know that the passing of baton is the way that that you win races? Yeah. And we are privileged today to honor someone. And Minister Brenda Ostrander, if she'll come on out, please. Where's your husband? Where's Shane? Shane, come on up here. Hurry up. Amen. She's been doing the women's ministry now. She's been doing children's ministry for 5.5 years. Amen. Now, you need to know what that means. She's been pastoring one of the largest churches in the Southern Tier. What do you mean by that, Pastor? She pastors right now 280 children that come through the children's ministry per month. And then 70 volunteers. And then that doesn't include Wednesday nights. We bus in up to 150 other children. So every single month, she's ministering with her team to almost 400 children. That's a large church. That's a large church. And this year, she came to us and she said, Pastor, I think my time has been completed. And so we are going to honor her today. And this cupcakes, and there's going to be a little party, that's New England, party out in the foyer afterwards. She's going to be out there with her husband, Shane, shaking everybody's hand, loving on you. And the baton, where is Susan Bull? The baton is being passed to Susan Bull. Amen. Now listen, what's important is we always want to make sure that the baton is passed well. Amen. And so Brenda, you're excited, right? You wouldn't lie. No. She's excited about Susan. And we're excited about Susan. And we just know that what God is doing, he's going to enhance. We're believing God for no less than 500 children every single Wednesday night. Just Wednesdays. And then we're believing God for another at least 350 to 400 children on a Sunday morning. Now, you need to know how realistic that is. We're praying for what? We're praying for 1,000 in each service. So actually, we need 600 children on a Sunday morning to make sure you have room to sit down. Amen? So we're believing God to bring change. And we cannot say thank you enough. We honor you. We love you. You have served God. You have served the people. And there's no question that God will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can you give her one more hand clap and say thank you so much? Want to say something? She's really good with kids, but she says, don't hand me that thing. I'm out of here.
Not yet.
Good, honey. Do you want to say something?
No. We just are so, so grateful, and we just really honor you for all of your service. And thank you for even taking the time and investing in this transition to make sure that it's gone smoothly and that Susan's set up for success.
Amen.
Because that's what we desire.
Amen. One more hand clap. Thank you so much. We love you both. Thank you, Shane. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It's my beautiful wife, Rhonda. Well, I do want to say that she just got a whole new shipment of books out there, and there's new Rock Solid Faith books out there. So if you don't have yours, you want to grab them out in the foyer. And we just want to honor the First Lady of His Tabernacle Family Church.
Amen. We're entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And I love this time to be able to talk about finances. I really invested a lot in teaching my children on finances because for me, it's important that they're successful. And for a pastor and I, it's so important that you're also successful. When you choose to be generous and obedient in your tithe and your sowing in your seed, it changes your relationship with money. It changes that burden of money. You can be a slave to money. You can work so many hours and you can have such strain. You can have bill collectors calling you. When you choose to tithe and sow seeds, the Word of God says that he will rebuke the devourer and that he takes pleasure in your prosperity. He'll open up the windows of heaven. It changes your relationship with money. It sets you free in ownership. It changes your relationship with God. It puts him in as Lord and owner and us in our place of knowing that we
aren't in charge and we aren't in control, but God is our source. And then also, when we are generous and we sow, it changes our relationship with our community. And I want to talk a little bit about our community and what we're getting ready to do for this summer. Actually, this week, Pastor and I head out to Mexico. We're spending a few days there to help the pastors, Pastor Patricio and Claudia. They are wonderful pastors down there. We're getting ready and setting up for the October Salvation Campaign with Tiff Shuttlesworth down there. So we're leaving this week. That's one of the things that we're doing. And then we have empowering pastors. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Pastor and I love to encourage and build up pastors. We do this on a weekly basis. Pastor encourages on Tuesdays, and I have a time on Thursdays where we have over 53 pastors' wives from across the world that sign in for encouragement. And empowering pastors is our heart and our passion, and we're getting ready to do our annual Empowering Pastors Summit, which is going to be an incredible time. You are all welcome and invited, even at a discounted rate. So make sure you get it on and sign up for that. We have Bishop Thomas from Florida coming up to teach on supernatural finances. I just want to be around anytime someone is talking about supernatural finance so I can get some impartation on that. I love it. And so we're bringing this man of God in to impart into pastors and into our church. And then we have Pastor David, Dr. David Ireland. He works in the prophetic and the gifts of the Spirit, and he's going to be teaching how to work in the gifts of the Spirit. And of course, Pastor Spencer will be encouraging pastors, but that's coming up in, what's the dates, quick? March 20th through the 22nd. That event cost $20,000 to put that on, but we are investing in pastors, which means they then take that investment back to churches, and then that affects communities. So when we sow into empowering pastors, we're sowing all over. It is such an awesome time. We pamper them, we encourage them, we love on them, because sometimes being a pastor can be a very lonely road. And we believe as pastors and as a church that we want to invest in pastors everywhere. And then we have Uproar that's coming up this summer. And that event this year, as Pastor Cody told us, is going to be at the arena. We're taking it to a whole new level. And that means a whole new level of finances. He, I believe, needs $60,000 for that event. And we want to be able to, as a church, sow into this. And we also have Rock the City, which was profound last year, had such a great impact on our community. So in all of these events, we need for these to happen around $80,000 to $90,000. And we want to put it out to the body to be able to sow into good ground. So if you would, in this next month, the month of February, whatever you purpose to sow, sow towards those outreach events so that we can make an impact not only on our church, not only on our own lives, but on the world. So when you're getting your taxes back, determine a portion to put towards and sow into the kingdom of God. So I believe you had seed envelopes in your chair. Take those home with you. Pray over them and sow a significant seed so that we can have significant change. So when we give generously, the third aspect, it changes our relationship with our community. We're a part of real change. And whether that be $5 or it's $5,000, it doesn't matter the amount. It's the fact that you were obedient and you gave towards something bigger than yourself. So this morning, if you'll stand to your feet as we tithe and sow, we are changing our relationship with money. Let's declare from the word of God, Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey. Oh, come on, you guys, say it like you mean it this morning. I'm pumped up from the worship service because nothing is impossible. 3:28. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God, and that means I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Change your relationship with money this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button. Give right along with us.
To the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all of our Bible school students back. Mexico is represented. We've got Texas represented. Amen. I see Texas over there and Texas over there. And then we also have homegrown folk right here in the house. And if you've always wanted to grow in your Bible knowledge, we have a Bible school. And you can actually, Dean Obina Igbo, if you'll please stand. Very good. If, I believe they can still, can they still sneak in or is it over? Sign-ups are over? Now that we say it, we're going to sneak in. If you sign up this week, we have night classes today. If you sign up today, we have night classes and we have day classes. If you'd like to sign up, please see Dean Obina Igbo and make sure that you are good. Amen? Well, I'm so excited about this message. Woo! You want to move? You don't want to, yeah, you've got to stay right there. Hallelujah. Today I want to do more teaching than preaching. Is that all right? I believe, and I've been preparing for this message about 6 months. That's a long time. The reason I've been preparing for 6 months is because I needed to get fixed. I need to be twisted back to correctness. What's happened is many of us have grown up and believe that God is not the God of generosity. Now, we all say that God is a generous God. Can I hear an amen? You are ugly, that's all I know. You are just some ugly man. Our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it makes this declaration. The generous soul will be made rich. Turn to someone and say, I think I want to be rich. You know what's amazing is the church has taught the body of Christ that poverty is more spirituality. And that poverty is something to hate. In fact, I was talking to an individual who was sharing with me that they know some very wealthy individuals, and they were saying that people, it's amazing how people will look at them with such a prejudice because they believe that their money fixes their health, that their, listen, how many of you know Steve Jobs died? He had all the money that money could have. It didn't fix him. You see, money doesn't fix people, but wealth does. Our wealth in Christ, our fulfillment in Christ is everything. And a part of that is that God wants you to be blessed financially. If you've not been blessed financially, then you know the struggle of life. Can I hear an amen or oh my? How many of you ever lost one night's sleep because of finances? All the rest of you are liars, and now you need salvation. Hallelujah. The generous soul. So God gives us the direction on how to be rich. Now, the word rich there literally means financially. But you see, I want us to get into this whole understanding of the generosity of God. For this is the year of... I said, this is the year of... We are the generous church. That's who we are. Why? Because our Father is generous. How many of you love your Father in heaven? Can I hear an amen? Amen. But the fact is that every one of us that are in this room live a life that is collected by what we call perceptions. In fact, right now, your ideas, your thoughts, your experiences have all established what your perception is about life and situations that come up in life. Some of you will look at one thing and say, wow, I can conquer that. Another person says, oh, that's going to defeat me. One person looks at a situation and says, wow, I'm so excited. Another person can look at the same situation and say, this is horrible. Every single individual in this room has had our perceptions, our viewpoint has been established by what we call gut theologies, or where we have come from, what we have seen, what we have experienced. But God is trying to bring us back to the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? That yes, you are a dual citizen and you must occupy till he comes. But the greatest constitution that you and I have is the Word of God. And God's Word is above every circumstance, above every idea, above every single thought. God's Word is truth. God's Word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to fruition. It's time to get our minds back to the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says that we need to have our minds renewed. Well, why? Because we've created perceptions in our life, even about God and his kingdom, that are not truth. In fact, many of us are very church-minded, but not kingdom-minded. And when we are church-minded, we are religious. But when we are kingdom-minded, we are living within the constitution of the Word of God. You see, today there's a necessity to recognize that the way we regard, the way we understand, the way we interpret something is all through the glasses of our perception, our understanding, our conclusions that are usually stimulated through life's situations. And today, one of the hardest things that the Bible people have is saying, God, I know I went through this, but Lord, your word is above my circumstance. God, your word is above my experience. I've had so many people tell me, well, I went through this experience, so God must be this way. And I want you to know, no matter what your experience is, God's word tells us who he is. And God's word does not lie. I said, God's word does not lie. Now, you see, that's where the perception comes. Because some of you believe God's word does not lie, but you don't take it as truth. See, there's a difference when we take God's word as truth. Our perception grabs a hold of the truth, and then we establish our belief system upon the truth. And many of us, we say we believe in God over here, but actually our faith level is over here. We say our perception is here, but we live in our perception over here. Now, both of these represent heaven. Both of these represent God. And the reality that we deal with, that we have to address in our life, especially in the year of generosity, is recognizing that either God is truly generous or God is truly poor. Either God is truly the one who loves us with unquestionable love, the one that God that says that there's nothing on this earth that he does not have, for the earth and the fullness thereof are his. That God is supernatural, that God cares about your every need, that he is the healer, he is the savior, he is the deliverer, and that he loves you as his children. Or we've got to believe that God is all of those things, but he doesn't have the ability to help me. And this perception is generated by how we see God. How you see him, how you interact with him, how you believe is how you receive. See, perception is nothing new in the scripture. In fact, a few weeks ago, I touched on the one verse. Remember, in the book of Mark, and it says this, Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through 29. It says, now Jesus and his disciples went into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. Now, why did Jesus ask this question? Because he understood that just because everybody is seeing the same thing does not mean they believe the same thing. Just because they're following does not mean they're believers. Just because you come to church does not mean that you believe that God is truly who the scripture says he is. See, this is where we have to address the reality of who we are. And you've heard me say the word reality twice. Why have I used the word reality? Because we have and do in our own minds even say one thing but believe another, yet we'll try to convince ourselves in a non-reality that we actually believe God who is here.
Exactly.
There must be a transition in our spirit. There must be a supernatural revelation and illumination of the scripture so that God by his spirit will become who he truly is in his kingdom. And by the perception, our reception of who he is, he will be allowed to move supernaturally in our life and truly be the father that he is to us and has desired to be to us, rather than you and I seeing him as a poor, decrepit God who's in heaven. We would never say that. But we live it.
I see it.
Dude, you're ugly. That's all I know.
Well, I'm not the best one around here for this job.
Jesus knew that when he said, who do they say that I am, that everybody said something different, yet they were looking at the same Christos. Just because you sit here does not mean you believe that the Word of God is truly the Word of God. Just because you sit here does not believe that what the Bible says is what you have adhered to in your spirit, man. And now you live, listen now, everything that we live, everything that we pray, everything that we declare truly says which God we believe in. Well, I don't know if I can make it.
How many times have I heard that? What do you want from me?
Boy, you know, I wish God would listen to me.
Hello? Are you listening or talking?
But you see, we see God as this one who is thrifty, stingy, non-generous. Let's just use the word poverty, because poverty is the opposite of generosity. But truly who God is he truly is a generous God. He truly is a generous Father. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father desires to bless you. It's all in the perception. It's all in the reception. And how we pray, literally, how you pray when you're believing God, whether it be for finances, whether it be for your whether it be in your body, how you pray literally is declaring which God you believe in.
My generosity is like a river overflowing.
Amen. Never stopping. Amen. It was very philosophical. Thank you, God.
He came up with that.
That is good. It was good. His river has a dam in it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Exact. You see, this is the issue that we're dealing with in this year of generosity. Is it's not that God is going to change, for God says, I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He truly is God, and what he says is true. So the issue is not this. The issue is not that the streets of heaven aren't gold. The issue is not that there isn't healing in heaven. Listen now, the Bible says, we've quoted the verse so many times, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God desires to pour out heaven onto earth through your life. But yet, watch now, we believe that in theory, but we live this in reality.
How many times? How many?
And there must be a shift in the body of Christ, especially in these last days. Why? Because the devil is striving to keep the body poor. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking a poverty lifestyle. I'm talking a life that's not generous. And if we live a life that's not generous, then there's no way for the people of God, as freely as you've received, freely give. A generous person not only gives their faith, they share it with as many people as they can. But a person of poverty will never share their faith because they're afraid they won't get backed up by their God. You see, again, this whole thing with perception is everything. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. The Shunammite woman. Now, it happened one day as Elisha went to Shunam, where there was a notable woman. Everybody shout notable. That means she was wealthy. That means her and her husband were well off. That means her and her husband were known in the community. They had a great reputation. That means that they were people that had the financial wealth to do whatever they desired or wanted. And she persuaded her husband to eat some food. Excuse me. And she persuaded the Elisha to eat some food. So as it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there and eat some food. And she said, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us put a small upper room in the wall. Let us put a bed in there for him, a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. This woman had a prophet walking by her pretty much every day. And yet there was something that was missing. And that is, As Elisha was walking by, and we know Elisha did double the miracles that Elijah did. We know that Elisha was so powerful, was so supernaturally filled with the anointing, that double portion, that when he died and his bones were in the grave, that a dead man was thrown in the grave with him. And when the dead man hit the bones of Elisha, he jumped up and started running past his friends. We know that this great man of God was a prophet of God. We read it today. But yet, this woman had him passing by many times. But something happened in her life where she then said, I perceive that he is an holy man of God. I perceive that he is a man of the Spirit. I perceive that he is a prophet of God. You see, how you perceive, you deal with things differently. When she did not perceive him to be a prophet, did not perceive him to be the holy man of God, then when he would pass by, she would wave. When he would pass by, he would just go by and he would go to the next city. But when her perception changed, when her viewpoint changed, when her understanding changed, everything changed. She then made the declaration, I perceive he is a holy man of God. Therefore, she said, let us invest. And she started investing in the man of God. They put an addition on the house. They put in a bed. They put in a lampstand. They put in a chair. And they gave him food. So whenever he was passing by, because what changed? Her perception changed. His track didn't change. His walk didn't change. He didn't change his clothing. We hope maybe he washed them, but you know, it didn't change. What changed was that she saw him differently. When you see God like this, then this is the height and level of faith that you will release the power of God with.
Wow. Yippee.
But when you see God for who he truly is, come on now, there's nothing he can't do. There's nothing impossible for God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That God wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. When you perceive God for who he truly is, you go to him differently in prayer. You walk different. You think different. You act different. Everything is different because it's not being filtered as this weak, pathetic, thrifty God who just takes care of himself.
You guys ask and ask and ask. Keep on asking. Don't listen or look.
See, this is the reality of the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong with being poor when you come to church. But when you start learning, poverty should be perishing. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So what happens is we get into church, and let's just be straight up. In the majority of churches, you know, people will say this, I need this, I need this. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Listen, and all that is beautiful, but the fact is that you have a Father in heaven. There is nothing that he is going to withhold from you. He even wants to give you the desires of your heart, even the things that are crazy, even the things that are weird, even the things that God, he says, according to his word, what you ask me, I will give you. If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, my son, I will give it to you. You can have this confidence in him that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you and the answer is already on the way. We're not talking about religion. You see, the religious God is a poverty-stricken God who can just stand up there and damn everybody to hell. And hopefully when you pray, he hears you. Listen, there's an old song that I used to love and I had to stop singing because it was unbiblical. And Jesus, hold my hand. Here we go. Ready? Page 258 in the blue book. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. That whole song declares poverty.
Hope.
When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Let me tell you something. When you kneel in prayer and you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 4 declares that you come before the throne of God boldly. You stand before our Father, and the big brother Jesus, our advocate, has already gone before him and said, your son and your daughter, my brother, has already come in my name, and they've asked me for this thing. And the Father who is good will withhold nothing according to his design. You see, God wants you blessed and not cursed, but you cannot have the blessing if you only see God as the poverty-stricken, hope he hears me, Jesus. And that's all about perception, because the truth is that this is God. The reality is we pray, we live, we act like this one.
Is there a lotto thing in there that everybody thinks I'm going to give them?
Again, this is not new. A few weeks ago, we talked about the talents. Remember the talents? I think my Pastor Rhonda preached on the talents. There were three people that got different levels of talents. Five, three, and one, correct? Or was it 5, 2, and 1? 5, 2, and 1. 5, 3, 6, 3, 7, 3. Let's just move on. Matthew 25. Should read it one more time. We all think about the one who was cast into utter darkness. The one who got the one talent and went and buried it. And when the master came and asked for the talent, he says, well, you know what? You know what he did? He literally showed his perception of the one that came called the master. Now, I want you to see this because it's very powerful and very important. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 says this. For the kingdom of heaven is like this. So this is how God's kingdom works. You want to know how God's kingdom works? This is what the verse says. This is how this works. This is how Father God works with you on earth. This is how Father God interacts with you on earth. This is how Father God releases heaven to earth. This is how it does. It says it right here. This is how the kingdom of heaven works. It's like a man traveling a faraway country, and he called his servants and delivered his own goods to them. Now listen, this is powerful. When you look at the man who had the one that buried it, he literally shared his perception, which was this. Matthew 25, 24 and 25. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, have what is yours. Now watch this. It's powerful. Where did the one come from? Where did that one buck come from? Where did the money come from that these guys got? The master did not say to them, listen, I don't got enough in heaven. I want you to use your five. I want you to use your three. And I want you to use your one. And I want you to gain me money. He didn't say that. The master said, I'm going away. I'm taking from my wealth. I'm taking from what I have. And I'm giving you. You see, a poverty-stricken God is a taker. A poverty-stricken God and one who does not give to his people is one that's always demanding from you. As the servant of God, he is demanding you to provide for him. As a servant of God, you have to sustain him. As a servant of God, you have to hope he hears you. But I'm here to tell you, you aren't serving a father like that. You're serving a good, good God. Can I hear an amen? You're serving a God who is faithful. In fact, the name of Christ, he is the faithful God. Revelation chapter 3. I declare this morning in the name of Jesus, there must be a shift in our spirit. There must be a shift in our mind, because the perception that this man had damned him. The other two did not have the same perception as the guy with the one. The guy with the one made this declaration, Lord, I knew. Do you know what the word knew means? It means perceive. The Greek word for that is, I perceive that you are a hard man. Who told him he was a hard man? Who told him he was a hard taskmaster? Who told this servant that his master was mean? Who told this servant that he should be afraid? Because watch, how you perceive, there's an automatic response to that. And the response to the perception that he was a hard taskmaster was now this man was afraid of the good master. You see, who gave him the money? God gave him the money. Who put him in responsibility? Who gave him gifts? God gave the gifts. God didn't demand it to come from you. God gave you. God blessed you. God carried out of the abundance of heaven. He foreordained and planned you before the earth was ever created. He said, I knew you. You see, there's a need to grasp a hold of this truth, and that is your perception can kill you. Who told him? See, some of us concoct our perception of God the Father in our own minds. Some of us have just had really bad teachers. Religion is a very bad teacher. Well, Pastor, I grew up in church. Sometimes that's the worst person in the world. Because their whole mindset is wrapped around poverty. I was with a pastor the other day, very successful man of God. And he came to visit here. And he drove in a brand new BMW. And I looked at that BMW. I said, that is nice, dude. And he goes, yeah. He says, I'll probably lose 2 or 3 families. Why would he lose 2 or 3 families? Because people believe that God is too poor to be able to provide, even for the man of God, something that's nice. I had a lady in the church. She came to me, and she was from one of the islands, I believe Trinidad. She came to me and she said, Pastor, I need you to bless my car. I just got a new car. She said, and I believe that the man of God needs to release a blessing over my new car. I says, great. So I walked out there, and it's a beautiful Mercedes-Benz. I said, honey, I am so excited that you're driving this Mercedes. I'm so blessed that you're driving this Mercedes. I released a blessing upon the car, and I want you to know that many people would look at that and say, well, you know, they could be driving a Toyota, or you know, they could be driving a Yugo, or they knew, you know, if they were really spiritual. Listen, the perception that man has in their mind has yielded us the reality that God is poor and can't barely survive in heaven. Don't ask him too much, because you know something, you don't want to be greedy.
Don't put me here. Just don't put me here. You did this. You're doing it.
Your perception is not necessarily the truth. Who you perceive God to be, listen, not with your words, but with your life, might not truly be who God really is. And this is the challenge. Because we have to address ourselves and every thought that would raise itself up against God and bring it into captivity. Well, you know, other people are more blessed than other people. What do you mean? You're telling me, you know what you're telling me? You're telling me that he can't provide for you to be blessed with a creative idea, blessing at work, gifts coming from where you cannot even understand them coming from. But here's the God that's going to keep you all tethered down for the rest of your life. But he blesses other people. You know what you're saying? Is that God loves others more than he loves you. That's religion. That's not truth. Yet your perception, if that is the strongest, then when you go to God in prayer is, well, Lord, whatever you give me, I'm just going to be happy. Well, Lord, I hope it's going to work for me. Well, Lord, I just pray that in the name of Jesus, everything kind of, you know, sifts out in the pan. And, you know, I kind of hope that I'm going to survive. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there must be a change. Because either your God is the God of what? Generosity, or your God is the God of poverty. That right there is the entire shift of mankind. Religion has created a God that doesn't have the ability, come on now, doesn't have the ability to create Eden all over again. There was perfect relationship in Eden. There was perfect food in Eden. There was nothing they needed. There was nothing lacking. There was nothing broken. There was nothing that was wrong. There was nothing that is out of place. But you know, Pastor, we live in a real world with real hard things coming down the pike. Listen, I want you to know that, yes, you live in a real world with sometimes very difficult things coming down the pike, but you're a servant of God that there is nothing impossible to. You're a servant of God, and you're in a kingdom that if God said, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, that means that God would not say, let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if it couldn't be done. Amen. So why isn't it done? How you perceive is how you receive. It's a challenge, and like I said, I've been working on this for 6 months now. And I constantly listen to the things I'm studying because, I was brought up in not a lot of wealth. And what's interesting is, remember we taught a few weeks ago, some people catch it and some people have to be taught it, caught and taught. The people that caught it don't need as much shifting. Because they're used to going to their father and say, you know, I want this and I want that and I need this and I need that, and the earthly father providing what they wanted. But those of us who didn't live in households like that and didn't even live in churches that taught us about our perception of who God actually is and how to step in and receive from the God who is supernatural, the God who wants to bless you and not curse you. We have to be taught it, which means there must be a transition in our mind, which means that we must have our minds washed. Yes, that's right. We are a brainwashing church. We take the word of God, we put it in the Bible, and we say, God, wash our brains. We want to think like you. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not ever come on this earth and say, I kind of hope I make it. I kind of hope it works. He didn't go pray for a sick person and say, oh, what if it don't work? What if it does? What if it don't? What if it does? He doesn't sit back and say, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford. Listen, I know there's 5,000 people sitting out there who need to eat. I don't know. Go get a second job, Pete. See, we dismiss the supernatural because we believe God to be natural. So therefore, we talk to him and believe him to the level of natural, rather than there's nothing that he doesn't have available for you to be released from heaven. And this has nothing to do with your husband or your wife. This has to do with you and I saying, Jesus, I want to be transitioned to think like you think. I remember when that couple came, and how many thousands of dollars? It was tens of thousands, right? Doctor's bills? Yeah. $79,000 in doctor's bills that weren't covered. Watch this. They didn't tap into this God because he's stingy.
You made me that way. I'm good.
Well, you know, that's just the way it is. I hope it works out for you. But they believe God. These folks have faith, man. I love being around them. They tapped into this God, the real God, the true God, the one and only God. And they declared and decreed that God was going to be able to do what no man could do. And guess what? God washed $79,000 worth of doctor's bills, and they did not have to pay a dime. How is that possible? Well, because what is $80,000? Come on now. What is $80,000 to God?
Piece of broken paper.
Yeah, you're on the wrong side. You're saying it that way.
I know
it. We're trying to convert the bad God to good God. It was amazing. And I just want to prove something to you. Pastor Rhonda got up and she said, we're doing these outreaches and it's going to cost us $80,000 or $90,000. Some of you immediately said, oh, poverty. This is your God. All the church wants is your money. This is your God. Well, you know, that's a lot of money. This is your God. Well, you know, what are they going to do? Nag us every week? This is your God. Come pick the barrel.
I got a nickel. There's a bottle in there.
But when you know God as this God, when you know God as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you know God as the one who said, let there be and there was, what is $80,000 worth of bills? What is healing your physical body? What is saving your soul? What is it? It is no big deal to God because there's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that he doesn't want to do. God wants to pour himself out on you, but we've got to get out of the poverty God and get into the true God, the one God who is able to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. And you know, this is my challenge. I hope you don't mind. But this is what I fight with. Because, you know, I had a hard time believing this. When I was first a pastor, okay, I gotta end. When I was first a pastor up in Newfield, everybody know where Newfield is? Up in Newfield, I was 24 years old when I took over this senior pastorate. And you know, I didn't see a lot of salvations. I didn't see a lot of healings. I didn't see people baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, the language of heaven, the language of your nation. Tongues is the language of your homeland. I'll say it one more time. Tongues is the language of your original nation. Amen. I struggled with believing all of those things because of what I was taught. I was taught in Bible college that you don't ask God for too much, that you don't ask God to do all this stuff because he might or he might not. You know, God, you know, he's a good God, but, you know, reality says, you know, sometimes you just got to struggle with life and that you become better when you struggle with life. You know, you become better when you're poor. You're better when you, you know, you don't have things. You're better when you're sick in your body. You're better. You're better. You're better because all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. Listen, listen, God can take anything and make it good, but my God is good. My God does not put sickness. My God does not put disease. My God does not put poverty. My God wants what he had in Eden to be evident in your life. Heaven to earth, heaven to earth, heaven to earth. But you see, he cannot bring heaven to earth if he won't believe. Well, my sin is too hard. Who lied to you? The God of heaven said, I've sent the Holy Ghost. I've sent you the power of heaven to live and reside inside of you. And I've broken the chains of sin in your life. And there's nothing that can hold you back. There's no sin that is too strong. Greater is he that's in you than any sin this world would have to give. Even the devil is subject to you in the name of Jesus. Today, your perception of the generous God or the poor God determines how you pray, how you walk before him in success, how you forgive, how he heals, how he loves, and how he gives, and how you give. I'll get myself in trouble and then I'll end. If you're not a tither, here's your God. I can't afford it. Pastor, I can't do it. I'm sorry. The Bible says, if you tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't even contain. Well, it's either true or it's a lie. If it's a lie, then what are you serving God for? Because he's too weak to help you. He's too cheap to help you. He's too weak to help you. Every believer in this room, every believer watching by live stream, every believer that's going to watch this on television, there is nothing you cannot do with the God of heaven backing you up, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the kingdom that you're living inside of, the kingdom of God. God is able. He is not only able, he is willing. But he can only release from his hand what you ask for. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be. True or lie? True. Take my yoke upon you. Even though you're heavy laden, I will give you rest. He won't give you rest. He'll make you feel like you're not good enough. That this is just the way it's got to be for the rest of your life. Some of you have lived in depression. Some of you have lived in emotional struggle. Some of you have dealt and allowed physical sickness to live on you. Listen, it's not that you're not going to get attacked, but the difference between you and I is that we have a covenant. But you either have a covenant with this God or you have a covenant with this God. And your covenant determines your faith level. Your faith level determines what you're going to get. So if this is where your faith is, listen, I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven. But you're going to live in hell on earth. Even when the disciples were being persecuted, Stephen looked up with peace when he was stoned to death. Even in the midst of trial and tribulation, like the children of Israel who went into the fiery furnace. I don't
don't see three anymore, I see four. And that one looks like the Son of Man. Watch now. Then they came out, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Who is the God that you serve? We've got to ask ourselves this question, because perception is everything. Is this your God? Or is this your God? He was mine for a lot of years. A lot of years.
Why aren't they just sitting there?
I don't know.
Why aren't they saying no?
I don't know.
Come on.
I guess they're contemplating.
Wow.
Survival more than a conqueror. Your faith releases heaven in the dimension that you have. Kenneth Hagin once taught this. He said, when you go to the hospital, don't pray for a miracle if they don't want it. Pray to their level of faith. I've had people say to me, just pray that the hand of the doctor be guided. I'll pray that the hand of the doctor be guided instead of pray for a miracle. Do I believe a miracle will occur? Absolutely. I wouldn't pray it. I had one family say to me, their child was mute. I said, I'd like to pray for your son. And the mother said to me, no. Because I know if you pray for my mute son, he'll be able to talk again. And then we'll lose Social Security. We call that poverty. Oh, don't woe too much. Because that might be you. In some other dimension of your belief system. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that today you are not this horrible God. You are not this God of survival, just making it by. But you are the God of more than enough. Woo, hallelujah. You are the God of abundantly above. You are the God that said the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and life more abundant. God, I thank you that you are not only able but willing to bless us in every aspect of our life. Lord, you're willing to bless our relationship with our spouse. You're willing to bring a spouse. You're willing to bring, oh God, blessing in our schooling. You're willing to bring blessing in our health. You're willing to bring a greater relationship with you, walking and talking in the cool of the day. You're willing to bring, oh God, a healing in our mind and in our soulless realm so we don't have to walk around broken. You're willing to bless us with our finances so we don't have to beg and plead and hope to make it by the next day. I pray, God, that you'll help us shift back to who you really are, not to what religion and the church has taught, so that you will be glorified through our lives, that just like the world looked at the children of Israel and said, surely they serve the God of heaven. Look how he has blessed them. Lord, I declare it in our lives in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to lead you to the generous God who will wash your sins away generously with great mercy. He is so merciful. He'll make you part of his family. He'll open up heaven for you. He'll bless you and not curse you. He'll call you a son and a daughter and say that you are now an heir and a joint heir of Christ, not just when you get to heaven, but while you walk here on earth. Today, if you do not know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long because I've gone a little bit late. Is there anyone here this morning that wants Jesus as their Savior? Five, come on. Four, three, get your hand up. Three, two, last call, and one. Let's all stand to our feet. Pray this with me out loud. Dear Jesus, change my perception of you. There's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you don't want to bless me with according to your word. And today, change my mind. change my thinking, change my perception to the Word of God, that I might live in the Constitution and not be a Christian, but be a son and daughter of God who walks as an example on this earth, who people will be magnetized to because they know that God is with me. I decree this over my life. I repent from thinking you are poverty stricken, that you are a weak God, that you are an unwilling God. And I declare that you are the great God, the generous God. You are my God, and I am your child. In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, you can't walk out of here without walking with a step in your gait, because you've got to see things different this morning. Might have adversity today. Deal with it with the Word and watch the victory come. Amen? I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you're a guest, make sure you meet us over on the side. I'd love to talk with you, shake your hand, and get to know you.